Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. When best-selling author Bruce Feiler was diagnosed with a malignant tumor in his leg, he could only imagine all the walks he might not take with his daughters, the ballet recitals he would miss, the art projects left undone, and the aisles he might not walk down. Though his daughters would have plenty of resources in their lives, they wouldn't have their dad. He decided to write to six men who have been with him throughout his life, men who could become his voice and his daughter's council of dads. Bruce Feiler is one of America's most popular voices on faith, family, and finding meaning in everyday life. He is a best-selling author of 9 books, including Walking the Bible, Abraham, and America's Prophet, and one of only a handful of writers to have 4 consecutive New York Times nonfiction bestsellers in the last decade. He is also the writer/presenter of PBS miniseries Walking the Bible. His latest book, The Council of Dads, which we'll be talking about today, tells the uplifting story of how friendship and community can help one survive life's greatest challenges. Bruce, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you very much for those kind words. It's lovely to be with you.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have you. Bruce, I absolutely loved your book. I love the way you combine stories of your father and your 2 grandfathers and your lost year battling cancer, and, of course, a beautiful story of the Council of Dads. And I was so moved by your book, and I'm so honored to have you on It's Your Health. And,
well, thank
you
for that. You know, it's one of the things I keep saying is that part of the experience of the Council of Dads is the experience of reading the book, The Council of Dads. So I'm
yes.
glad that it reached you because you, of course, read many books.
Yes, hundreds, and yours really got me right in my heart. It's so beautiful. And, you know, you start the book with a story in the prologue that brought me right back to my childhood in the 70s. you write, quote, "The bike was bright orange. It was a Schwinn Stingray with a swooping banana seat, a miniature front wheel, and handlebars called ape hangers because the grips are so high they made the rider look like an orangutan." Can you tell us what happened on your bike when you were 5 years old?
So I had that bike, you know, and it turns out that Google has informed me that that was, like, the most popular bike in the world in the 1970s. And I had just moved to a new neighborhood in my hometown of Savannah, Georgia, and I was taking a shortcut in the street, and I was hit by a car.
Oh.
My mangled bike went in one direction, my mangled body in the other, and I lay on the street. And I broke my left femur that day, which is the largest bone in your body. And for 38 years, that was the only medically interesting thing that ever happened to me until a routine blood test when I was 43 suggested something was wrong with my bones, and one thing led to another, and doctors told me that I had a 7-inch tumor in my left femur in the same place that accident was, which hardly, of course, seemed like a coincidence.
Yeah.
I was the walking guy. You mentioned walking the Bible, and I
yes.
was the walking guy, and suddenly I might never walk again. And at that moment, I really kept coming back to my twin daughters. At the time, they were 3, and what life would be like for them and all the things in their lives I might miss. And I wanted to give them my voice, somehow they could have their father in their lives. And so I reached out to 6 friends from across my life, and I asked them to be present for my girls, and I called them the Council of Dads. And so today, even though I'm doing better, the experience of gathering these men into our lives has been so inspiring, I decided I wanted to write this book to capture some of the wisdom that the men passed on to me.
Yeah, it's just so beautiful. And, you know, I'd love to talk about each of the wonderful men you choose. You know, you have Jeff, your camp counselor, Max, your college roommate, David, your business partner, Ben, who you grew up with, and then another Ben, who's your
yeah.
closest confidant, and Joshua, your romantic poet friend. And one of the things you were hoping that Jeff will teach Eden and Tybee or teach them is how to travel. And can you tell us a little bit about what the others in the council would like to share with them and how this has changed your friendship and enriched your lives and your wife, Linda, as well? I mean, I'm sure it's enriched hers and your daughters.
I think that in a lot of ways I see this as kind of assembling a team of godparents. But one of the things that really helped was that I asked each one to convey a different lesson to my girls, how to live, how to travel, how to think, how to dream. And then I asked each one basically for one lesson that they would pass on to my girls. And that really became the heart of the experience. And I think that what people seem to be very moved by in the book, The Council of Dads. So Jeff, for example, who lives in Putney, he was this leader of a trip I took, my first trip abroad. And he has this philosophy of how to be a traveler, not a tourist. And I said, well, how would you teach that to my girls? And he said, I would tell your girls to approach a trip like a child might approach a mud puddle. You can look
oh,
in and
that.
You can, you know, see your reflection, and you may stick your finger in and maybe cause a ripple. you can jump in and thrash around and feel it and taste it. And he said, I would tell your girls I want to see them back at the end of this experience covered in mud. And I remember after having this conversation with Jeff, and it was the first of these conversations inviting men into the Council of Dads, and I told my wife, I said, you know, Linda, we're doing this for our girls, but really we're going to be the ones to benefit because I think that it's going to change how you live and how you parent and how you approach your life. And I think that that right down the line has been true of all of the wisdom that the men shared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I want to start a council of dads, a council of moms. I mean, it's just, again, and you talk about the book, the importance of community, and I think that's really gotten lost in our culture, and I think it's so nice to have that group of friends that's like family. It's just vital.
In a lot of ways, I think that I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, and I think in a lot of ways the whole notion of the council of dads is maybe trying to recreate that sense of community I had growing up, where especially as parents of children and young children, I hear this so often, like, oh, I have time for my work and I have time for my family, but I don't have time for my friends. With the Council of Dads, or some of the people like my wife now starting a Council of Moms, what we found is that this kind of builds a bridge between your family and your friends, kind of invites your friends to play a role in your children's lives. And it was helpful that I kind of gave each one a specific task, like, okay, like, you be travel dad, like, you be sports dad, you be nature dad. And so it kind of reduced the burden. And then also by then asking them, again, back to this idea of, like, what would you pass on, what the message you would give to the girls, it produced this kind of trove of life lessons that's really become the heart of the book.
You know, another thing that I felt was a big part of the book and also had a lot of heart was, you know, I mentioned in the introduction that you share stories of your father and your grandfathers. Mm-hmm. And how do you think your father helped shape, you know, your coming to this notion of the Council of Dads?
Well, my father, like so many fathers, is kind of a council unto himself. although it's interesting watching, you know, a lot of people, particularly women, are saying this book is sort of a peek into male intimacy and seeing how from my grandfather, my father's father, who lived behind us growing up, he didn't have a lot of friends and didn't communicate a lot. To my father, who's a man of great wisdom, there's lots of sayings, and I've collected these sayings in the book, as you know. Sort of, it's much easier to bring up children than to bring down parents. You marry the whole family, all these kind of the 2%.
Yeah, he had great. Mm-hmm.
About
mm-hmm.
taking chances in life. But even he, you know, he's not chatty in that kind of long emotional way, right? I mean, my dad makes Twitter seem expansive. But at the same time, and here I am spending an entire year writing a book for my children and trying to gather wisdom for them to carry with them through their lives. And so I think that's one of the things that we learned is sort of that you see the generational changes of being male in America. And so that this generation, my friends, the men in the Council of Dads, talk about their feelings, they talk about their fears, they even talk about their weight. And I think that, especially for women, as I said, Linda likes to say that when she heard the conversations I had with these men, when I kind of, she joked that they were 6 wedding proposals in which I invited them, had a friend married them and invited them into the Council of Dads. She's like, what you guys talk about is exactly what the moms at preschool drop-off talk about, right?
Exactly.
It's kind of balancing work and family. And so I think that women, it's interesting to find out what's going on behind the locker room door or what's
mm-hmm.
happening out there fishing.
It's so important, you know, and you mentioned about your grandfather and about his life and how he, you know, took his life and how, you know, he kind of felt like, he was getting older and I think there was some Alzheimer's and his work was coming to an end. It was sort of like, well, what else has he got? Whereas now I think that was a generational thing, and now with all the men being able to be more emotional, talk about their feelings, and be more involved with their children, I think that's really important. And I think that was great that you shared that story.
Yeah, it was a hard thing to share, and in a lot
I'm
of
sure.
ways it's sort of the I don't know, almost like a what might have been or kind of how far we've come. And I know it's common among women in particular to complain about the men and what they do and don't do. But I think in terms of this sort of emotional availability, that there's been an evolution. And I think that that's great, especially for the children.
Yes, it's very important. And, you know, I also mentioned in the introduction how you wrote about your, you know, last year. And you wrote something about cancer that I found so profound. You wrote, quote, cancer, I have found, is a passport to intimacy. It's an invitation, maybe even a mandate to enter the most vital, frightening, and sensitive human arenas. So that obviously sounds like it played a role in approaching these men or having the Council of Dads and being more sensitive and you know, if you can expand on that.
The single most quoted sentence in my book, The Cancer is a Passport to Intimacy.
Oh, really? And I thought I was so original.
Well, no, it's just interesting.
It's just so profound. It's beautiful.
What people have said to me in reading the book is that, you know, and in a lot of ways, you know, there's this culture in America that we kind of happy your way through a problem. I joke that my wife has a her philosophy in life ranges from thumbs up to thumbs sideways.
Yeah.
She's a very kind of upbeat person. But yet somehow I have found like having the difficult conversations, sitting down with my friends and telling them what they mean to me, reaching out to a long-lost friend, these are really pathways to great intimacy and closeness and deeper relationships. And it was the great gift. I mean, one of my kind of mottos after going through this last year was kind of no more chit-chat. Like, let's have real conversations with my friends and family. And it may be difficult at times or frightening, but in the end, I find it incredibly abridging, which is kind of, I think, my general posture with the book, The Council of Dads. Is, you know, I say to people, whether you felt a loss, whether you've ever felt alone, whether you've ever felt uplifted by your own friends, come on this journey with me. I think that you'll be changed, I think, by the wisdom that you'll hear from the dads. You'll be moved to reach out to your own friends. And in the end, I think that you'll be inspired by the sense of security love even,
mm-hmm.
and hope.
Yes, yes, a lot of hope. And I have to say, you are such a strong person because of what you went through. I was just amazed at how you dealt with all the surgeries and the chemos, and it's just so brutal.
It obviously was very brutal, and it's amazing what they'll do to you to get you sick, to get you better.
Yes.
But I think that, you know, people often say that they hope to live long enough to take advantage of a medical miracle, and I have lived that long. And I think now I look at my kids and see that maybe they've become an ounce more caring or a dose more compassionate. And I think that for me and for people around me, I really came to appreciate the value of slowing down. You know, you hurry, because I was on crutches for 15 months, as you know, hurry, you get to a destination, but you get there alone. And you go slow, you get to a destination, but you get there kind of carried along by the people you've met and the community you've built along the way. And I came to learn about pedestrians in Paris in the 1840s used to stroll through the arcades, and the men of leisure used to bring turtles with them and let the turtle set the pace. And I just came to love this as a symbol of my lost year and as a sort of ode to slow moving. And I tell it to my girls, take a walk with the turtle, behold the world and pause. I mean, the idea of slowing down and making connections is really a real treat. And something that I really, it's become something that I'm really passionate about.
Yeah, and I love the story in the book about when you did take your girls and with Linda, and you went on the Brooklyn Bridge, and you met all kinds of interesting people, and you have more empathy for people who have disabilities, and you got to connect. I think that's so wonderful. I think that's really missing in our culture right now with all the Twittering and, you know, emails and all that stuff, you know, real human connection. It's interesting. I interviewed these two women who wrote this fabulous book I bet you'd love called Consequential Strangers. And it was basically about how the people at the grocery store and the gas station and the hair salon and, the drugstore, how they really make a difference in your life. And I was like, I love my consequential strangers. You know, I look forward, hey, Alex, how you doing? Hey, Barbara, you know, and that I see them more than my friends sometimes, and just about, you know, reaching out to people and building community in interesting places. So I just wanted to
mention
that.
Well, that's what I think that the Council of Dads has proven to be about, which is the feel that these people are present in our lives. And my wife, you asked about her earlier, she feels like that this is her inner circle. I don't know, Facebook, so many people, and that's Twitter, and work, and the bus, and the as you said, the gas station, and the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
We feel this incredible sense of security from having these people close in our lives, and especially that our girls now have a relationship with the men in the Council of Dads. And so they're not just daddy's friends, they're their friends too. And so I invite people to come along, because I think that you'll be inspired to reach out, and I think that you'll find some wisdom in here that can enrich the communities in your own lives.
Oh, definitely. And the other thing, if you can talk a little bit about hugging the monster. I love how you talk about in the book, and that's such a good lesson for your girls.
the book opens with a letter to the men inviting them to be in the council, and then it closes with a letter to the girls explaining to them kind of what I've learned from the from these men and the wisdom: approach the cow, always pack your flip-flops, live the questions, harvest miracles. And my own kind of contribution to that is this idea of hug the monster, that the Air Force teaches its recruits that if they come to pain, they shouldn't run from it, they should embrace it, and they should turn their fear into a source of inspiration and renewal. And that's what I tell my girls, right? Hug the monster. Really take the thing that you're most afraid of and use it as fuel to drive yourself forward. And if you do that, and you know, and you, and as parents, I think that I kind of want for my children to be their arms. I want to be the ones that will send them into the world to give them the confidence to face whatever it is that they will face.
You are just amazing. I think everyone wants you as their dad.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm serious. You're just so incredible. You're so in touch with your emotions, and you're so kind and warm. It's just lovely. Now, Bruce, I want to thank you so much for being on It's Your Health, and how can people learn more about you and your wonderful books?
Well, the Council of Dads is available everywhere, and I've also set up a site called councilofdads.com where there are tips for starting your own council. There's videos. You can meet the men in my council. You can email me directly, and we're trying to kind of keep this community alive on the web.
Oh, that's great. Well, I have lots of people on my Facebook who listen to my radio show, and I just put up a thing about it saying you have to read this book. And I got some good response. Oh, yeah, I read it. It's beautiful. Or I saw him on, you know, the Today Show, and it's really great. And I want to thank you
so
much.
Well, if you go over to me, you can come over to me at facebook.com/Bruce Feiler page. There's a public page there, and I just posted there myself before we got on.
Oh, great. And so if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. And I hope everyone has a great week. Keep being healthy. Get the Council of Dads. It is so inspiring. And have a terrific week. Take care. Bye-bye.